of the armies, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. And I want you to catch that for a second. He says, you do this, and I will do this. You give me this little bit, and I will just back the truck up. That's what he's saying. I will back the truck up, beep, 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 and I will pull the tailgate down or open up the flatbed, or I will back, and I will hit the ramp, and it will just bear, I just will bury you in all the things I've got prepared for you. That's not what he's saying. It's exactly what he's saying. Pour you out a blessing that there will not be what? Room enough to receive it. God is faithful. God will bless your faithfulness. Pray with me one last time. Father, Lord, I need you this morning. I ask you to help us, be with us right now. I pray, Father, that you would speak to every heart. I pray you'd speak to mine. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. Father, as we're preaching online, as we're recording for future use, I just pray that you get all the honor and the glory right now. Lord, I need you. I thank you for being so good and kind to us. And I pray that you'd help me to communicate clearly the word of God. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. And amen. Amen. Elmer Towns says, wrote years and years ago speaking about a story he had observed and all. I used to tell this it was his son. I found out that's not true. But he wrote this, I don't know, probably in the late 70s. And he talked about a young father going to McDonald's with his young son, and he ordered him the Happy Meal. How many of you are sad the Happy Meal is changing? This makes me sad, you know. And anyway, he ordered the Happy Meal, and he's sitting there, and he said, and the young man was just playing with his toy. He says, Dad was there, and he was enjoying things. He was slurping on his milkshake, and said he reached over for a French fry. And he said, and the young man slapped his hand. How many of you ever think, you know, that's a good idea for a little kid to slap his dad's hand? Anyway, so he slapped his hand and said, I just want a French fries. He says, they're mine. He says, well, you're not eating the French fries. Any French fries? He says, they're mine. And the kid with one hand grabbed this toy and the other hand kind of scooped up all his food and kind of slid it to him and kind of growled at his dad. How many of you, that makes you nervous, just that whole situation? You're thinking, I'm going to kid be dead. And said, the dad looked at him and started to say something to him. Then he began to think. Towns recounts a story like this. He said he didn't have a clue who he's dealing with. He said, I don't need his French fries. I'm an adult. If I want fries, I can go buy my fries. How many of you want fries now? I just keep saying fries over and over, don't I? If I want French fries, I can go buy French fries. Number two, I don't really want his fries. I wanted to share the experience of eating with him. And then third, just to be honest with you, I go up to the counter and I could buy the place out in French fries if I really wanted to, and I could bury him up to his eyeballs in French fries. This is not about a fry. This is about the fact that I just want to be with him here. Let me help you with something. I said last week we did our in our series on generosity here, on being faithful with what God's given to us. We talked about things. We said and reminded everybody that you are just a manager. When you treat things like you're an owner, you get into real trouble real fast. We treat things like we're owners. And we said, secondly, we did a little bit, you know, because people are worried whenever you talk about stewardship and time and talent and treasure and all these kind of things. People get real crazy nervous. And I reminded everybody about our stewardship math, about our management math, that if people get mad and upset about talking about what the Bible talks about so often, over and over and over, Jesus talks about finances, he talks about stuff, he talks about all these kind of things. If we do that, if people say, well, I'm going to get mad and leave, we got to remember, if they're really upset about that, then they're probably not doing anything, they're probably certainly not giving anything, and that's a zero. Everybody remember last week our math? That's a zero. And if they get mad and they leave, they're going to take their zero with them, right? And so we said that zero minus zero is what? Anybody here went to good school? Zero, right? So why do we get really upset about people? You know, people that are plugged in or involved. You can't have a kid in a band program without selling stuff. You can't belong to the Kiwanis Club without partaking in a fundraiser. You can't hardly do anything anywhere without somebody saying, if you're coming, you got to commit. You're coming, you got to commit. But we do all the time, we just walk around on eggshells about the most important thing in the world, and that's our time and talent and treasure and testimony, and the most important thing being the work of God and the people of God and the place of God, the message of God, the mission of God. So I don't really, it doesn't really bother me, because I believe when I get my priorities in line, I'm the happiest. When I follow what God has for me, I believe I'm the most whole. Some of you, man, you chase after this and you chase after that and chase after the other, and it never works out, does it? It never works out. You got this, you want another. You buy this device and they come out with a new one, right? You know, Samsung made a lot of fun of the Apple people this year because, you know, they keep buying this and they got to buy an adapter and all this kind of thing, and the guy's kind of smirking and all. And I just chuckle at it. But that's the way we are, aren't we? People line up to get outside, so please take my money because I've got a perfectly good phone, but it doesn't have the new label on. I've often thought, man, if I could find out how to put a sticker on something, I can make people feel better, amen? Here's your perfectly good phone with a new label on it. How many of you would buy it? Don't raise your hand. And so we're here. So we're talking about this. We're talking about our stuff, what God wants us to do with it. So how can we do this? You say, Pastor, that's all well and good if everything works out for you. Say, what do you mean? Well, you know, I'm not real good with my stuff. I'm not real good with my time or my talent. Or I'm struggling. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but anybody ever struggled? Anybody ever said, well, that'd be a good idea if, or a good idea when? Or a good, you know, that's fine for you. That's fine for other people. So what does all that mean? Well, let me help you. I want to give you a couple of things here. Okay, let me give you this. Let me use by way of introduction here, and you can write this down here. Remember a couple of things. Number one, God has given us, has allowed us to have what we have. If you'll take that attitude, you'll be a lot better off. God has allowed us to have what we have. Now, by the way, sometimes God's allowed us to have stuff and then we've done really badly with it. Anybody besides me, you've made bad decisions with your time or your talent, your treasure, your testimony? Anybody besides the preacher, you got done, you went, well, that was a bad idea. You ever ordered something at a restaurant and you knew better? You got done, you got it, and you went, huh, well, look at that. And then you took it home, the dog wouldn't eat it, and you think, man, this is a bad thing. You know, I told the story about the margarine the other day. You know, we wasted a half a thing of margarine, and I was mad because I didn't know we even had any margarine. I'd have been putting it on everything if I'd have known we had it. You know, we're here. When we think about this, God has allowed us to have this. We're real funny, and we get something, especially a big ticket item, whatever that is. I think when we last got a washing machine, you know, we prayed on the washing machine, Lord, let it last long. And do these things and all. And I want to be that way. So you pray for a washing machine. I've prayed for a washing machine when it broke before. I figure I might as well pray for it when I buy it. Amen. And so we pray this way. Why? Because I want to be that way. I want to be that way. I got my class ring back. I had it rebuffed and all, and got it fixed as part of the warranty and stuff. I got it back. Lord, help me. This meant something. This signifies, Lord, a lot of expense and getting a degree. Lord, help me do this. I want to be that way about things. I want to be that way about things. Our Heavenly Father's allowed us. Number two, recognize that everything we possess comes from Him. Say it's not true. You get down on your back and tell me how good you work. You get strapped for a couple weeks and tell me how well you work. Everything we have, we must recognize that. When our kids were small, one of them had a bad habit of taking a marker. What do we call those things? The erasable markers, the Crayola. Is that what they were? Somebody help me here. Anybody remember what happened yesterday? And they would take and you could erase them, but they'd go around. They're just putting their initials on everything. They saw Andre doing it, I think. And so they're just going around, they're just putting their initials on everything. And, you know, every time I turn around, there was initials on everything. One of them, who will remain nameless, saw the other one doing that, and so got a crayon. Crayon's different than a washable marker. Nod your head if you're still with me here. And decided the wall was theirs. So they went over, and they didn't like how it was, so they just bore down a little harder. You know, you got to just about re-sheetrock something if you bear into it hard enough and all. But I'm not bitter. I've gotten over it. It's only been 13 years. But anyway, and they're there. And it's mine, it's mine. If we're not real careful, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. No, God, it comes from God. Number three, God could give us more or less than what we have. How many of you understand that? You walk outside, and God back up the window of heaven and dump out things if He wants to, right? We have more or less. Is everybody, anybody with me? Some of you are like, I really want the more. really want the more. Sometimes I think God does what he does to keep us from being ruined. Keep us being ruined. Say, prove it to me. You let your kid or your grandkid, your niece or nephew get a bunch of money for a birthday or Christmas and watch how stupid they are with it. I'm sorry, silly they are with it. Stupid's a bad word. Watch how they are. You ever been to the mall and watch people just buy dumb stuff because money's burning a hole in their pocket? And we laugh at them, but we're the same way, aren't we? Ha, ha, ha. And we're there. Can I have 20 for what? I'm going to go to the mall. What are you going to do at the mall? I don't know. Just walk around and do stuff. No, no, no. God could do whatever. And we, by the way, we exercise wisdom there. Number four, God could take from us some or all that we have. It's God's. It's God's. It's okay. It's okay. God could. God could allow it. God could absolutely allow it. Say, I'm not real comfortable with any of those or some of those. Or again, I don't want you to be comfortable with what I wrote. I want you to be comfortable with what the Bible says, because I want to walk you through that a little bit. Walk you through that. Job said what? Job, after he lost everything, his family, he lost everything but himself and his wife. He said, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It wasn't mine to start with. Say, I don't understand that. That's big boy Christianity. That's big boy pant Christianity. When I can say, God, it is yours to start with, it is yours to start with. So the question is not whether you like those four things. Nod your head if you're still with me. The question is not those kind of things. The question is simply, do I trust God about this stuff? Do I trust God about this stuff? There was a comedian in the 90s, and he said, you can trust me with your family in a Motel 6 overnight. That was his expression there. You could trust me that way. And I'm thinking, I ain't going to trust you with my family anywhere, much less a Motel 6. And you can trust me. Trust me. I get people call me for former students and stuff, and they say, hey, what about this person and all? What about this person? I'll say the same thing. I'll say, I haven't been around him in years, but when I knew him, I would trust them. If I really felt strongly, I'd say I'd trust them with my children. I just don't know any better way to say that. If I say I trust you with my children, that's a gold star stamp of approval with me. I trust you with my kids. The question is, can you trust God? Can you trust God with your life? Can you trust God with your stuff? Can you trust God with your future? Can you trust him? Can you trust God? And the question to follow that up is, can God trust you? Can you trust God and can God trust you? Can you trust God and can God trust you? So what do you mean by trust here? Let me break it out for you a little bit. Let me break it out for you. Still with me? Say amen. I feel like we're already warming. You with me? You good to go? You want real practical Bible teaching? Here we are. Number one, do I trust God? Can God trust me? T, let's just do a little acrostic. How many of you like acrostics? How many of you help remember stuff and all? A few of you say, preacher, I'm writing. I can't raise my hand. Trust God. No, T, take an inventory. What do I have? What has God done? Can I really trust him? Can I really trust him? There's a point. How many of you here are married? Anybody here married? If you got to look, you're not married. Anybody here almost married? Anybody here want to be married? Some of you raised your hand for all three. That's good. That's good if you want to be married and you are married, I reckon, right? And I didn't think about that. I didn't mean to be funny that way. We're here. It's good. Thank you, John. And so that's good. Take inventory. At some point when you're about to get married, or you're about to get serious, you know, am I really going to spend the rest of my life with this person? I really want to spend the rest of my life with this person. There's that big gulp. We even have an expression for it. I hope you don't get cold what? Feet. Feet, that's the most response I've ever gotten. Andre, remember that. Cold feet, right? Because you're thinking, man, do I really want to commit to this person? It hadn't been recently. Some of you, it was a part of your ceremonies. It hadn't been anything recently. But I did a wedding years now ago, and the bride looked at me. I went and had a word of prayer with him, and then, you know, it's out there with the groom and the best man and the dad and all. I went back there and said, hey, you look beautiful, sis. I'm proud of you. It's going to be great. She grabbed my hand. Grabbed my hand by my wrist. Somebody grabs your hand by the wrist. They're serious. Everybody with me? Grabbed my hand by my wrist and said, make sure he's there. And I went, okie dokie. And okay, we can do that. And so I walk out and all. And if his feet had pointed, I was ready to tackle him. I was going to be on one of those movies, you know. I was going to be on one of those videos, and everything was fine and all that kind of stuff, and it was all good. But why? Why? You take an inventory. Take an inventory. Do I really trust him? Letter R there. I think you got to recognize that God's your source. Anybody ever been somewhere where you bless the food? I just about stepped off. Anybody ever been somewhere where you bless the food before you prayed, before you ate? Anybody? You may not do that. I got into a debate with a guy one time, and he was agnostic, ugly acting fellow. And he said, "Why you bless the food for? You think it's going to be better after you do it? You think it's going to protect you from food poisoning and all?" He said, "I used to do that, and I don't believe in God anymore." He said, "I haven't gotten sick." He said, "And the food still tastes the same." He said, "That's just silly. It's silly." I looked at him and said, "I don't pray for over my food. I think it's going to make it taste better or protect me from food poisoning or anything. I bow my head just as a simple way to say, God, I am thankful that you gave me something to eat right now. I don't think it transmogrifies the food. I don't think it does anything of the sort. I think it's a very, very ungrateful person who can't bow his head and say, God, thank you for whatever I have." We catch that with a bowl of cereal. We catch that with a piece of pie. For some reason, we don't catch that with a car or a job or a bank account. We recognize God as our source. I want you to understand God's principles. We've not covered a lot of those this month. We have in previous years. But understand God's principles. One of those I'm going to do today. We'll talk about today about putting God first here. Putting God first. But understand God's principles. We've got several books in the back there that you can help you. We've got some resources. I'll try and make sure we have all of them online. But if you're interested here, how can I do this? How can I do this when I've got extra? How can I do this when I'm broke? How can I do this with, everybody and their brother in the company store? How can I be a good manager? How can I be a good manager? I mean, by the way, you think if I was a better manager, I could be more generous. Anybody besides the preacher ever think that way? How many of you think sometimes, man, God's not going to trust me anymore because I'm so lousy with what I've got now? Understand God's principles. Communicate those principles. Communicate those principles. T is taking inventory. R is recognize God as my source. U, understand God's principles. S, I want to surrender everything to God. It's yours. We have a time or two a year, depending upon what's going on, we have a time where we have a child dedication or parent dedication. We used to call it baby dedication, and we call them. We have this time, and it's for moms and dads. It's for stepmoms and stepdads. It's for grandmas and grandpas, whoever's raising the children, to come and say, I give them to God. And I want everybody to know this is how I plan to raise them. I plan to raise them this way. I am surrendering them to God. We get that Old Testament idea there, and we do this kind of thing. You laughed at talking about the washer. I've done that with cars. We've done that with our home. We do that. We do that with these things and all. You know, if the phones keep going up, we're going to start dedicating the phones to Jesus. And, you know, we do these kind of things. Why? Because it's His. Because it's His. I treat things differently when I think they belong to somebody else. I'll break my head to make sure I get something that I borrowed back right to you. By the way, anybody here you kind of cross, you loan something to somebody, it comes back and it's all tore all to pieces? Anybody that works on you a little bit? Some of you are like, yeah, man, this is the best service ever. He just told me I could be mad at people. I didn't say that. I just said, you ever been there? You ever been there? I want to surrender it to Him. And then that finally there is I want to test Him. I want to test Him. Does God really mean what He says? Does God really mean what He says? Can I trust Him? See, I think the reality is we don't want to be faithful with our time, our talent, our treasure, wait for it, and our testimony. We struggle with this because why? We're just not sure God really is going to do what He says He's going to do. People won't come to Christ. They won't confess their sins and trust Him. They won't do that because I don't know if God really means, I don't know if God really loves me. I don't know if God really can forgive me. I don't know whatever it is. And I want to encourage you today. Say, preacher, I grew up in church, or I've been around church, and I've heard you're not supposed to test God. Let me help you. I want to say test God just like it says here in Malachi chapter 3. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. Open your Bibles. If you close them, look right back there and let's see. You get Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. See what the Bible says. Test God's promises. Test God's promises. You and I need to take what we call the trust test. What we call the trust test. Anybody Phoenix, how long you been? Where's Phoenix? Phoenix, how long you been working for the truck driving company? I'm employed. I know you hadn't been working. Yeah. Okay. All right. Did you have to do a bunch of stuff and all those kind of things? Oh yeah. And CDL and blah blah blah. All right. You with me there? With me here, Mr. Weiner. Do you have to keep up your certification to drive commercial and all? Okay, you do that. I know you and I have talked about that. You got to do those kind of things, And some others of you that are in construction, you have to have certain permits and or certain certifications, those kind of deals like that. We got some nursing people here. You got to have this and that, those kind of things. You got to have that. And it's one of those deals where it's what? Okay, you want me to trust you with this. So you gotta do that, right? Does everybody get that out? Everybody get that scenario here for a second? Okay, well, here's what the Bible says. God says, I want you to do this. And it's okay. You do this, and I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna gladly do this for you. So what is he talking about? Verse 10. He says, "Prove me." He says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Tithe is an old word. We don't say it a whole lot anymore. In fact, some folks read it and they say tithe, but it probably is a long I there. It basically is a word tenth. Now, I don't know, some of you say, well, it's more than that, and I know it's more than that. There was a tax for this, there was a tax for that, and if you add it up, it's about 25, 26.2 or 3% if you annualize it. I'm not talking about 26 point some percent. I'm not talking about a governmental tax, because that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about part of your income. He's talking about the first part of your income. Nod your head if you heard me say first part of your income. He's talking about the best. If you were a farmer, you'd go through and you'd pick out the best stuff and you'd set that aside probably for yourself. You'd sell the other stuff. If you were in the livestock and the husbandry, same kind of thing. You'd keep the best kind of animals because that's what you wanted. Pardon me. If a guy's going to sell off real estate, he's typically selling something he doesn't want. He's keeping the best part for himself. God says, I want you to invert that order. I want you to give me the best part. I want you to give me the best part. I want you to trust me here. I want you to trust me with your time and your talent and your treasure and your testimony, how you live in front of the world. I want you to do that. I want you to start this off. Why? Because he's going to provide for it. God's going to provide for it. The psalmist said, I have been old and I have yet to see God's seed begging bread. God will take care of you. He will take care of you. We say it, and I hear people snicker and I hear people smirk. I mean, everything I said, when I said that Mel Strickland was perfectly healed, that's exactly what I meant. He's not perfectly healed here, but he's perfectly healed with God. And God did exactly what he said. And by the way, he's better off now than he was. God provided. God will take care of you. Every now and then the preacher gets nervous. How many believe the preacher gets nervous every now and then? You know what Malachi shouts at me? Put me first, I will provide for you. Put me first, I will provide for you. God is not trying to raise money. God is trying to raise his children. You can trust me. You can trust me. God will provide for us. He promises he would. You're there, that there may be me meeting our house and prove me down here. This is God's plan. His people give. His people put him first. God's work has everything that it needs. I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There not be room enough to receive it. We had a real sad thing happen in our town this week. One of the finest donut shops in Knoxville closed last night. Maker's Donuts. They didn't ask my permission. They didn't say anything by me. We were going yesterday morning, but they sold out Friday night. And I wasn't that worried about it to go out in the pouring down rain last night. So we waved and they took their maple bacon and cereal donuts. I'm going to get worked up here if I keep talking about it. And they're selling, and hopefully somebody else will open it, and it'll be great. And since we've been losing weight, I haven't eaten as many donuts, but I have good memories of eating said donuts. We took all the evangelists. Anybody's been here, we took them over there, and they're all on Facebook. You know, it's sad. I'm teasing. It is sad. I'm not teasing. It's awful. I'm going to go repent right now. And I chuckle. It's funny. It's funny. You take a donut, and some of you who work in other food places, I need to brag on your place too. I'm sorry. They put bacon on it, and they even tried to convince me it was really better bacon because it was cruelty-free bacon. And I thought, that pig died at some point. At some point, somebody was cruel to the animal. Nod your head if you follow my logic there, right? There's a point at which cruelty-free something ends because the animal died. And then he was fried. And then he was put on a donut. And, and all this kind of thing. And then, then the milk, and the cows were massaged as they were. Just trying to make me feel better about buying their product. And we kind of chuckle here. But I'd lived a long time before I'd ever had anything on a donut, much less past a sprinkle. And we moved to Knoxville, and man, y'all do it right. Man, there's all kind of stuff on there. And they make one with, they had one with cereal on it. And they powdered milk, and then they put Fruit Loops on that deal. And the Fruit Loops and the sugar and the yeast and all that. I still got a couple of them right here. They've never made it past the left ventricle of my heart, I'm sure. And they're there. Here's how we do. God's going to provide for me. In our mind, we think, 5-day-old, discount, stale, little round donuts made in a factory somewhere in the Midwest, shipped here. And guess what God's saying? I'm going to not give you a donut. I'm going to give you the store. I'm going to do better than the store. I'm going to give you the farm. I'm going to do better than the farm. I'm going to give you all the employees. I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to fill it up so much that you'll get tired of it after a while. I'm going to just keep pouring out to you until you finally say, God, it is just too much. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outfaithful God. You cannot outbless God. God said, if you would do this, you do this little thing, then I would just overwhelmingly pour out on you. Let me help you. That isn't always financial. They have somebody kiss you on the cheek at night and say that they love you. They have somebody call you on the phone and tell you that they appreciate you. They have a loving church family. They have good health. Whatever it is you find yourself, there are blessings that are way beyond dollars and cents in your pocket. He will provide for us. Do you trust Him? You can trust Him. He'll provide for you. You can trust Him. He'll provide for you. See, what do you mean? Let me break it out a little bit for you. See, in the area that I obey, God blesses. The area that I obey, God blesses. The area I disobey, God disciplines. The area I disobey, God disciplines. God says, I want to do this. And again, all our guests and all of you, that this is not your church home. We don't talk about this all the time, but I'm not apologizing either. The Bible talks about this here. This is rubber meets the road. This is real deal. What I do Monday through Saturday kind of thing. When I obey, God blesses. God blesses. God smiles. Is there anything makes a parent or a grandparent or step-parent any happier than to have an obedient child? When I am obedient, when I say, God, I trust you, God says, boy, that is wonderful. That is awesome. Here you go. You go. Say, I should do so I will get. No. I do because I love Him. I do because He loves me. This is all just a friend's benefit. It's all just a friend's benefit. Worked, what time did I get home last night on it? About 9 o'clock, give or take, just a long day and finishing up some things. Been a weird week. And so I got home and Andrew was smiling at me. That means one of two things. It means something good or something bad. Anybody here married, almost married, want to be married? Let me just help you. That's what that means at my house. And I sat down and, because she's going to wait for me to get a mouthful of food. This is how it works. 21 years of marriage, how it works. She's going to wait for me to get a mouthful of food, and she's going to hit me with this bad news. She says, I got a surprise. Oh, no. Surprise, Bill. Surprise what? Getting fender bender. Get thrown out of Walmart. What'd you do? What'd you do, woman? I went online. That's bad. I made a peanut butter pie. Oh. It's good news. It's good news. What am I doing eating this mess? Give me the pie. And no, I didn't say that. And I made you pie. Why'd you make your pie? Why'd you do that? because I love you. Oh, then I really thought the bad news was coming in. Are you everybody with me? If you got to set me up with a pie, it's awful bad. As far as I know, there's no bad news. I'd like for y'all to hang around. She won't do it in public after service. And we're here. You know, here's what God's doing. I want to bless you. I want to bless you. We told our kids forever. They do something. We say, we're not going to raise any brats. We're doing our best to raise knights and princesses with character and honor. I love you too much to let you behave this way. God says, this is what you want you to do. Put me first. Put me first. I want to bless you. God says he'll protect us. God says he'll protect us. Look at verse 11. I rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground or vine cast your fruit before the time of the field. He's talking agriculture here. The devourer there. He could be talking satanically. I don't really think he's doing that. I really think he's talking about hostile animals. He's talking about predators. I will take care of you. I will take care of you. It's not the times I know God's taking care of me that give me pause and fill my heart with wonder. It's all the times God's taking care of me I didn't know anything about. It's all the close calls. It's all the time the wiring didn't catch fire. It's all the time he kept me to take the right medicine instead of the other medicine. By the way, I go from now to about 3 o'clock. Last time Andre had surgery, they've changed all the medical protocols now. It's very hard to do. It wasn't then. She came in with a little ketchup dispenser thing full of medicine for the other room. Came in and dropped it down. Andre was so out of it, she starts to take it. I noticed that all her pills before had been yellow and green, and these were red and white. And I catch it and ask the nurse. Nurse turns 3 shades and comes back in. Before I know it, I got supervisors and all these people because they've given her the wrong meds. She didn't take them, thank the Lord. I was in the room at the right time. I could do that for hours. God will protect us. God said, I want to do this. By the way, lack of suffering doesn't mean God's not protecting us. Sometimes God protecting us is holding our hand when we're going through a bad time. I said it before, I'd rather go through an awful time with God beside me, then skip through life, and everything roses, and God not being anywhere close by. By the way, I don't think that other is possible. I don't think the other is possible. God says, I want to protect you. I want to protect you. I want to take good care of you. I want to take good care of you. He says the third thing I think is interesting. He says, our lives are going to be attracted to others. And all nations shall call you blessed. All nations shall call you blessed. Where you shall be a delightsome land. He's talking there specifically to Israel, says the Lord of hosts. God says, I want to do this. I want to do this. And other people are going to look at you. By the way, you cannot out-bless God. You cannot out-give God. You cannot out-faithful God. Why? God says, people are going to see your life and they're going to be envious. What is going on there? I'm convinced you teach young people time, talent, treasure, and testimony. They're going to grow up and people are going to look at them and say, what's different, what's unique about that young person's life? You as a young couple, you say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put God first in these areas. We're going to do that. And you're going to have other young couples going to look at your life and say, boy, there's something different, unique, and special about their lives. You're going to be attractive to others. Let me turn that around here. Let me turn that around. The people in your life that you think the most of, I got news for you, are generous people. They're generous with their time. They're generous with their talent. They're generous with their treasure. They're generous in their spirit, and they're giving themselves. Those are the people that you want to be around. Those are the people that you look up to. Why? Because it's a principle of Scripture. When you are this way, specifically, when you put God first, God says people are going to look at you and go, man, that's something. That's awesome. Be generous. By the way, anybody here ever been blessed by a generous person? Because of their time or because of their talent, because maybe they gave of their treasure, whatever it is, or because simply they just shared and they stood there with you and their testimony was an encouragement to you in your heart. He says, this is the way it is. See, there's a trust test. There's a trust test. S.M. Lockridge, famous pastor, passed out in the San Diego area. He's known for several of his recitations. He says, you can trust him. You can trust him. If you allow me, I want to wrap up with this idea here, that you can trust him. Lockridge says, you can trust him. He's the one who made you, and it is he who made us and not we ourselves. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. No means or measure can define His limitless love, and no far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. I'm telling you today, you can trust Him. No barrier can hinder Him from pouring out blessing. He's enduringly strong, and He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast, and He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful, and He's impartially merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son, the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. I'm trying to tell you this morning, you can trust Him. Can I get an amen? He doesn't have to call for help. You can't confuse Him. He doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. He stands alone in the solitude of Himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled, unprecedented, supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem of higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. You can call Him. I'm trying to tell you, church, you can trust Him. He can satisfy all your needs, and He can do it simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak, and He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and sees. He guards and guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I'm trying to tell you, church, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Amen. He's the key to knowledge, the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness. He's the gateway to glory. You can trust Him. He's the master of the mighty, the captain of the conquerors, the hero, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer, the overcomers, the governor of the governors, the prince of the princes, the king of the kings. He's the Lord of the lords. You can trust Him. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable because He's incomprehensible. He's irresistible because He's invincible. You can't get Him off your hands. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. Pilate couldn't stand it when they found they couldn't stop Him, and Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him, and the witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree, and Herod couldn't kill Him, and death couldn't handle Him, and thank God the grave could not hold Him. There was nobody before Him. There'll be nobody after Him. He has no predecessor, no successor. You can't impeach Him, and He ain't going to resign. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Malachi writes, prove me. Test me. Why? Because you can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We say it, we don't exactly know what that means anymore, but He's going to change your life. He wants to change your life. He's the only one who can change your life. If you've ever been to Christ and asked Him to forgive you your sins, let me help you today. Maybe you're in a bad spot or bad place. Maybe we call it backslid. Maybe you've gotten some things that are all out of sorts. God can help you right where you are and forgive you and put you right back on the right course. You can trust Him to do that. If you're here today, you can trust Him. If you never have, maybe you wanted to, you can trust Him with your time. Trust Him with your talents, stuff you're good at. You can trust Him with your treasure. You can trust Him with how you live your testimony. Why? Because He's trustworthy. Can you trust God? I think the Bible screams at us. Yes, you can. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. It's just quiet for a moment. I ask you to reflect.